Trade between Russia and South Africa must increase. That's the agreement between President Cyril Ramaphosa and his Russian counterpart, President Vladimir Putin. With representation from every African country, though, leaders across the continent have turned to Russia as a promising partner, seeking expansion in trade and cooperation in politics. Glenn Silverman, who's CEO of GS Investments, joins us on the line now with further insights and analysis on what this means for the continent. Thanks so much, Glenn, for your time this evening. So we have Russia hosting its first ever Africa summit as it looks to rebuild neglected relations and goes in search for political allies, but trading partners as well. What are you making of the endeavor?
So I think Russia is trying very hard to try and increase its circle of influence. Russia has had a difficult time of late economically. They've got sanctions imposed against them. The economy is slow. Putin is not that popular. A lot of protests in Russia. And I think he has an opportunity, one, to deflect a bit of attention away from what's happening internally. And secondly, obviously, there is opportunity with Africa to do something. What is fascinating, though, is many of what the deals are that are being spoken about seem to be less about trade deals and a lot more about military deals.
Mm-hmm. Because one would think that makes more sense, where Russia is a fellow exporter of raw products and essentially competes in the same markets, right?
Absolutely. In many cases, they do. But Russia's expertise really are in the resource sector, gas, oil, nuclear, and military sales. And there's the largest supply of arms into Africa. And if one looks at the pictures coming out of the summit, It seems to be more pictures of armaments than anything else.
What is the spell for Russia, South Africa? Russia, South Africa, nuclear, that's been on the agenda. But of course, South Africa, having a whole lot of affordability constraints hindering things on that front. So does that simply take any deal of that kind off the table?
It's very interesting. Obviously, South Africa and Russia are both members of the BRICS, which we've often discussed between us before. And so there's an attempt to build relationships between each of them. I don't think in the case of South Africa and Russia, one hell of a lot has happened. I'm sure our president would love it if they would forget about this nuclear deal that was spoken about by his predecessor. It is unaffordable for South Africa now. And I think he's trying to keep for touch.
So how does Russia spend with South Africa and build ties with South Africa in particular?
So look, in some ways we do share common heritage from a mining perspective. We have expertise and they have the same, but it's pretty far away. It's pretty foreign. I'm hoping, the fact that we have two of the military jets land in South Africa is no sign of other things to come, because I don't think those links are that close. So there will be trade and there is trade agreements. There are some deals to be done. But I imagine actually the opportunity to the Russians is probably north of South Africa, within Africa.
Yeah, of course, for African states, obviously any diversification of funding sources is a good thing. But while we may see, smaller sums of capital flowing from that end into the continent and it coming with fewer conditions, we've got a professor at Moscow's Higher School of Economics highlighting that this could be unsustainable moving forward. And that sustainability, a question in itself. How much of a concern is that for you?
Well, I think your first comment was an interesting one, saying like any funding is good funding. And I'm not sure if that's necessarily the case. I think in funding provided by Chinese and the Russians, et cetera, very important to read the fine print, know exactly what one is signing up for, and often one doesn't know that. I think sometimes one has to be a little bit cautious even then, and read the fine print, I think, is very important. And how sustainable it is, I think, is a very moot question too. Clearly, Russia needs more allies and wants more allies. There's a big political fight taking place, as always, and has been the case for many decades, between Russia and America, at least politically, at least geopolitically. And if Russia can score more African allies, that would be a big plus for them.
Who has more muscle at the negotiating table, Glenn?
In terms of between Africa and Russia?
Yeah.
Well, I guess when one's the client, Russia is trying to sell stuff, and if you're the client, I imagine you would typically be the one in the stronger position. In many cases, maybe some of those African countries are not as strong, and Russia does provide some interesting stuff if you can get, for example, military attachés, assistance, cooperation agreements, etc. When Europe may be facing some internal and other challenges, maybe the Russians have a slight upper hand.
Yeah. You highlighted, Glenn, right at the top, that trade may well take somewhat of a backseat. We've seen Russian exports to African countries hit $20 billion last year. That's roughly double the level it sat at in 2015. How much more scope for growth do you see coming through on that end, nevertheless?
I'd imagine there must be more scope to grow. As Africa grows, trade generally and typically should grow. But those numbers that you quote are minuscule in comparison to the trade done with either China or America. It's improving, it's increasing, but those are very, very small numbers nevertheless.
Yeah, let's leave it there, Glenn. Thanks so much for having joined us on the line this evening. That, of course, the CEO of GS Investments, Glenn Silverman.